Thank you. tonight. The Lord's been dealing with me with this message for 2 weeks. Amen. And the concern, first of all, we thank God for taking us safely to Georgia and back. Amen. We thank God for blessing those that were just here. Amen. Through the word of God. Amen. I guess y'all had some Caribbean flavor. And then y'all had some Hispanic flavor. Juan Mackey, but we bless the Lord, and we're so glad. Now, it seems like there's like a love in here or something tonight, amen. It seems like there's a little heaviness. I told y'all before, I can have church all by myself, amen. I don't need nobody else, because God's been good to me, amen. Because I know how good God has been to me, I don't have to wait for somebody else to praise Him. Hallelujah. I praise Him for what He's done for me. Can we get a praise the Lord? Praise Lord. Can we praise the Lord? The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And the subject that we're going to deal with tonight, we all have some impossibilities in our lives. We all have some challenges. But it's not the impossibility of the challenge that's the problem, it's our faith in dealing with these impossibilities. Amen. And the subject matter we're dealing with tonight is, with man things are impossible, but with God,
all things are possible.
With man things are impossible, but with God,
all things are
possible. The woman that had the issue of blood, she wasted her time for 12 years going to men, and she couldn't get no better, but got worse. Hallelujah. But when she purposed in her mind, I got to get anybody tonight needs to know they got to get to Jesus? Anybody tonight know they got some situation that man just cannot fix? So I got to take it to the one who holds all power. Power in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand tonight. And like I said, I do have some additional scriptures that came, but tonight, we want to deal with the fact that we have some impossibilities. But our God is the God of the impossible. So we're going to start off in Psalm 78. I know I didn't give you that one yet, Shire, but if you go to Psalm 78, as the praise team was singing, you know, the Lord put this additional scripture on my heart. Because I know, all of us know God is real. We all know God can do anything. We know there's nothing too hard for God, even as He told Abraham and Sarah when they were past childbearing age. But our disposition, that's not our minds, but our dispositions physically, is saying that God can't do it. Amen. If we were to look at our own situations, we would say God can't do it. And as I said, when I was in Georgia, I just got up every morning and I just looked at, when God performed miracles, when He performed a miracle, He had to perform a miracle to perform the miracle. When God performed a miracle, He had to perform a miracle to perform the miracle. Amen. So we're going to read verses 35 in Psalm 78. We read verses 35, and we'll conclude with verse 41. Actually, verse 42. Amen? Do we all have it?
Amen.
Y'all gonna talk to me?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 35 reads, and they remembered that God was their
rock.
God was
their rock.
Whose rock?
Our rock.
And the high God, their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did what? Flatter Him with their mouth. And they, we talk about God, right? You know, they knew God was their rock. They knew God was their redeemer. How many know tonight, we all know God's our rock. We all know that He's our redeemer. But what are we saying to our situations? So they did flatter Him with their mouth and they lied. For their heart, if your heart's not right, I don't care what happens, nothing else is right. Because out of the heart proceeded all of the issues of life. And did not Jesus say, from the abundance of the heart, the what? For with their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. But he remembered that they were but, Lord bless your name. Amen. Jesus said, I was shaken in iniquity. And in sin, not Jesus, what David said, but in sin that my mother, you know what he said, I'm nothing but what? Flesh. A wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and they tested God. In other words, they angered God. How they do it, and what? They said, my situation is of such that not even God can fix this, right? So their heart was not right. So they were saying one thing, but in actuality, they were living different. Amen? They remembered not his hand. No, go back for a second. Let me stay on 41 for 1 minute. Let me drill that one home. Yea, they turned back and limited. You know, it's limits. And if you read a little earlier, they kept saying, can God? Amen. When all of Egypt was in the wilderness, they said, can God supply food for all these people to eat? Because they forgot who he was. Because they honored him with their lips, but their hearts far from it. Now let's go to the next verse. They remember not. Anybody, I like that song that said, when I look back. Amen. When I just look back. Anybody take a few minutes just to look back? When I think of the goodness of Jesus. Hallelujah. And all that he's done. Anybody got a soul that wants to cry out? Hallelujah. And I think, what are you doing? I'm just looking back. And I'm just thinking of how good God has been. When he delivered them from the enemy. May the Lord have blessed the reading of his word. And the church said, the word of the Lord is blessed. Or you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So the issue or the challenge, these were the people of God, but they kept forgetting what God had already done. Anybody get to those situations that are just impossible tonight? And you keep forgetting what God has already done. They said they knew God was their rock. Anybody know that if it wasn't for the Lord tonight, I wouldn't be here? They knew he was their rock. They knew he was their redeemer. Means that by all means, we should be dead and on our way to hell or in hell. Hallelujah. But the Lord said, not so. So he redeemed us when we weren't worthy to be redeemed. While we were yet in sin, he died for us. Then he not only redeemed us, but he snatched us out of the paws of the devil. But we keep forgetting what he's done. Because we don't look at how the magnitude or the magnificence or the extremes of what God can do. Because the Bible says he's able to do what? Exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. And that's chapter 3 of Ephesians. But chapter 1 says, according to the working of his mighty power that he wrought in himself when he raised himself from his mighty power. Amen. We forget so often what God has already done. You know, I just take a few minutes and I think of what God has already done. And we make our present. Look at somebody and say, your present situation. Right? The present situation seems like it's impossible. Your present situation, whatever you're going through, you have. And that God can't fix it. Don't limit God, because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now the Bible talks about Abraham and Sarah, and it says that when Abraham was an old man, almost 100 years old, his body was dead, and Sarah's womb was dead, that he staggered not at the promises of God through. Well, what makes us stagger when we don't believe God? Amen. That stagger means to waver. In other words, one day you're on a mountain high, and the next day you're in a valley low. So to waver means to oscillate, or to go in and up, go up and down and in and out. It means you trust God, then you doubt God. Right? But he said he staggered not. In other words, he did not waver. He was steadfast all the way to the end. And the Bible says that if you ask in faith, wavering not. For if you waver, the Bible says, let not that man expect to receive what? Anything of the Lord. So when we approach God, we can't approach God in doubt and unbelief. You know, sometimes humanity gets the best of us, and we fail to realize that God is able. Abraham and Sarah's situation was bleak, dismal, and beyond hope. But God. But how many know God has a test? God has a witness. Amen. Abraham and Sarah, Abram and Sarai of the Old Testament, there is a witness also in the New Testament, and we'll go there. We're talking about how God can do what nobody else can do. So let's go to Luke chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 5 of Luke chapter 1. Impossible situations, right, with man. But how many know there's no limit to what God can do? Psalm says there is no secret what God, you know what's so great? What he's done for, he's able to do. Don't limit God. Don't put limitations on God. If you were able, now, the miracle, and I was going to teach on this one day, the miracle of God, when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he just brought them what, meat and bread every day. But even in God supplying them with meat and bread, he told them, he said, now for 6 days, I'm going to supply you with manna. He said, and this is how you know if you really trust God. He said, now every day, I want you to just take enough for what you can eat. He said, don't say nothing over. Right? Because he wanted their complete dependency to be on him. So he said, when you take it, don't say nothing, don't hide it. He said, because if you take it and hide it, it's going to stink and turn to worms. Right? So, you know what? There's always somebody that just don't trust God. Right? So after he tells them that, what did they do? They kept it over. What happened? It stink and turned to worms. But the miracle is this. God said, but on the seventh day, on the sixth day, he said, gather twice as much because I'm God. He said, and on the sixth day, you can save it over and it won't turn to worms and it won't rot because the seventh day is holy unto God. So for 5 days, they could not save it. And when they did it, in spite of it, turned to worms and stink. But on the sixth day, when they kept it, it was all right. Because that's what God had commanded. Oh, the depth of the riches. Both of the wisdom and not of who God. If we don't take some limitations off of God and stop approaching God through our own finite limitations, God can do whatever he wants to do because he is God. So whatever he says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If God says it, trust me, God will bring it to pass. But our problem is we're Israel in the wilderness. What God tells us not to do, we don't trust God, so we do it. And then when God tells us to keep twice as much, we only take a little bit because we already saw what he did before. God is a God of his word. If we don't get rid of our rebellious and stubborn ways, right? That rivals God. Amen? I know. This ain't what we want to hear. But how many want victory? You know, I don't come to church. I have been saved all these years and keep messing up and blundering, right? Doing things my way. There's two ways. There's God's way, and then there's everybody else's way, including the devil's. How many are really ready to surrender? How many are ready to surrender and say, Lord, I'm so tired of doing it my way. It's time to do it God's way. Verse 5 reads, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest. God said, this ain't just a priest, but this is a certain priest, named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both, you want to be right before God? If you just be right before God, the devil in hell, then Jesus said, cannot withstand the building of my church. If you're righteous, I don't care if a million people come against you, God will fight your battles. But what we tend to do in our lack of faith, is when things don't go right, we become unrighteous. Righteous, we do it God's way. Unrighteous, we do it man's way. All right. So when we don't understand things, we get, I know what God says, but come on, you know, God doesn't really expect me to do that. God expects us to be obedient to His word, no matter what. You know, a lot of times our obedience is dependent on what we would gain or lose. And I heard somebody say, if you lose God, you lost. When you lose God, you lose. So we have a tendency as a people to try to keep gathering people, but we forget about God. But if you're righteous, just be righteous for God. Didn't the scripture say, never have I seen the righteous? How do you lose if you're right? But you can lose if you're wrong. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken. Right? The Bible said, what good thing will God withhold? I don't care what the world says. I don't care what people say they're going to do. Scripture said, what good thing will they withhold from them to walk at? Upright is in this world. Who do you want to be right in the sight of God or man? Amen. Seriously, tonight, think about it. Who do you want to be right in the sight of? And God doesn't go by what we say, because He doesn't look at our outward appearance. God looks at our. Well, everything about our mechanics doubt God, because our hearts are not with God. Our lifestyles are not with God. We come to church because we want to appease our conscience. But if it were when the rubber meets the road, when you really have a choice to say, I can just stay home. Right? The Bible says this is the day and age that God prophesied. He said, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of, we can find excuses for everything, but don't you know God knows the truth? And if God knows the truth and you say one thing but you're living another, that is not righteous. Amen? I know it's gonna be one of them hard services. So when it ain't right, I just say amen for myself, right? But what I'm saying is this. How long are we going to keep going through the charade? Right? How long are we going to keep going through the motions? How long are we going to act like we're with God? Say they lied with their mouth and with their heart, with their tongues, because their hearts were far from God. Our challenge, don't be right with me. Don't be right with anybody else. Be right with God. You know, a lot of times when people will watch us, we'll do what's right. I heard the scripture say, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So he sees all, he records all, and I heard Sumner says that he's keeping the record. Right? One day we're going to get an account. God forbid if our account is short on the day that he calls our number. Amen? All right, let's get back to this. And they were both righteous. Can we say righteous? Tonight, if you don't do anything else, be righteous. The only one that determines righteousness is not us, but God. I don't care what the judge say. I don't care what the lawyers say. I don't care what the policemen say. Well, all the people that we have a tendency to, we're back down and back ourselves into a corner because of what people say. As a matter of fact, I was dealing with a situation recently, and these people were doing this and doing that. Y'all need to know all the details. Y'all want to know the details, don't you? I ain't gonna tell you. But you know, at first it angered me. But I said, you know what? If God be for me, did the Bible, has anybody ever read this scripture? I'm just curious. Is that in the Bible? Is that true? If God be for you, why do we keep quitting on God? Why do we keep acting like our situation is so impossible that not even God himself can fix it? If God be for you, who then? Who then can be against you? Amen. All it takes is God on your side. But our dependency is waning from God. You know, if our relationship, I ain't picking on nobody. This, like, listen, everybody, please. This message came to me 2 weeks ago. All right. So the Lord preached it to me in Georgia. So don't put nothing on anything. But relationships are killing the church. I'm not just talking about husband and wife, I'm talking about family and brothers and sisters and cousins and nephews. Killing the church because we forget that we have a responsibility and accountability to God, and when they act up, we act up. You got to be righteous. Regardless of what anyone else, if God be for you, who can be against you? Right? If they shot a cannon in here with tanks and bombs and everything else, if God be for you, who can be against you? But we keep limiting God where? In our minds and in our hearts. So God is so excited that you're in the middle of this. He said, I'm going to deliver you. And then God said, I can't deliver you because your mind's not right. I can't deliver you because your heart's not right. If I deliver you and you're wrong, you'll never get. So God can't deliver you because you won't do right. Amen. They were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Can we read this one more time? Go back to that. Right? You want to be righteous, you got to walk in what? All the commandments. You know, I don't want you to talk to nobody else. Talk to yourself. All right, Paul said, I can preach to others. But not being, preach to yourself so you can be right. Walk in what? All the commandments of God, and they were blameless. When God comes back, don't you know he's coming for a church that is without spot, without wrinkle, and they are blameless. Blameless means you do your best. God will make up for the shortfall if you do your best, amen? And they had, because that Elizabeth was what? Barren, and they were now well. Their situation was impossible. Right? We hear about Abraham and Sarah, but very rare we ever hear much about the New Testament Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. We very rarely hear about this, but God always has a witness in every generation. God never leaves himself without a witness. But they were barren, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before Just keep doing what you got to do before God. Amen. In the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy what? Now he's telling, he's dealing with Zechariah. He said, don't be afraid. He said, your prayer is, because they knew, most of the time when you saw an angel or a spirit, that meant what? Death, right? He said, don't be afraid. He said, God has heard your prayer. Right then, Zechariah should have been up shouting and jumping. Because what was he praying for? A child. She said, God has heard tonight. Has God heard your prayer? Let's keep following Zechariah, okay? And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee. What you've been, even this situation is beyond what you know today. The last time you probably heard of this was thousands of years ago when it happened to Sarai and Abram. He said, but God has heard your prayer. Even though you're beyond what should be, even though nature is against you, how do you know God controls nature? Amen. He said, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have, he should be rejoicing right about now, right? What? I'm going to have this? Actually, he said, joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the Lord, whatever I have, let it be great in the sight of the Lord. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be even from his mother's womb. Next verse. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord God, to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, who was Elijah, to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a you gotta be ready for the Lord. Amen. And Zechariah said unto the angel. Now, the angel said, your prayers heard. God is sending you what you've been asking for. You ought to be rejoicing. You ought to be glad. But how many know sometimes we just still don't believe God? Even though the angel has said this, he said, what about should I know this? For I am, and my wife is well. You know, he said, we're having an impossible situation. How can I get excited? Look at some of our situations. Some of us have a smile since 1920. Nobody since 1920, right? But what I'm saying, we don't have a joy. We spend more time in sorrow. And downtrodden and downcast, so we have no joy. When he heard all this, he said, God's going to do this. I don't have to figure the one thing, listen to me, the one thing we don't have to do when God says something, don't figure out how he's going to do it. The only thing God asks you to do is what? Believe. Don't figure out how God's going to do it, because you can't figure it out because his ways are past. All God wants you to do when you hear is just believe. I can't figure out. And the angel answering said, yeah, I am Gabriel. He said, listen, I'm not just an angel. I'm going to tell you who I am. Right? You know about me because I'm in the Old Testament as well. Right? Who I think it was Gabriel that appeared to Daniel. And the Jews knew their history. He said, I'm Gabriel. That stand Lord, bless your name. Ah, send me an angel. Lord, send me a word from someone that's in the presence of the Lord. I won't doubt him. Amen. And I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these things, these glad tidings. And behold, with all of that, right? All that God is trying to show him. All these words, all these blessings, all that God has in store for him, you should be dumb and not able to speak because thou
believest
not. Right? We come in church, we hear, we know. We, you know, our hearts jump for joy. And we walk into the church and back down in the gutter again. Well, what's that a sign of? Unbelief, right? The scripture says plainly, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So we ask God, we hear God, we get excited, then we go right back down to the doubt valley. Right? It says, stand up on the mountaintop of God. We go back in the valley. So we're up, we're down. The scripture says, let not that man think he shall receive. Well, why? Because a double-minded man is? This is Zacharias. He's unstable. God said what he's going to do, but he doesn't really believe him. Amen. Now, let's get down to verse 32 of the same chapter, okay? Saint 32. Now, we're dealing with impossible situations. How many know your situation is not as bad as this? And if God can turn back nature, if God can turn back the hands of time to produce a child out of someone that could not have a child, how is your situation that bleak that God can't fix it? Now, this is the angel. Look at somebody and tell them the same angel. Lord, send me that angel. Let it speak to me. Because when you believe God's word, no matter what you see, it won't change you. When you see something and change you, you're not walking by faith, but you're now walking by, and that's the challenge in the church. We quit on God too many times because of what we see. And we don't really believe God can fix it. But the just shall walk, and the just shall. You can't just talk it, you gotta walk it, and you got to live it, amen? He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. This is who he's talking about, who? Jesus, right? So who is he speaking to? Mary. Now Mary had a problem, right? Mary had a problem. Today, Mary be messed up because the world's so crazy. Right? Mary had a problem. Mary wasn't married. And Mary was righteous. So how is she going to have a child? Because God can do whatever he wants to do. Because he's God. He doesn't have to get permission from nature. He don't have to go to none of these fertility doctors. You know, all the stuff they do, he didn't need that. He's God. And he can do what he wants to do. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary. There's a difference between Mary and John. Mary knew it was impossible. But Mary was listening to the angel, and she did not doubt. Amen. John eventually believed. That's why the Bible says he was deaf and dumb until the child was born. Because he didn't believe. So, yes, he got the blessing, but in getting the blessing, he had some handicaps along the way. Because he didn't believe. Yes, the blessing will eventually come, but how many of us are handicapped? Because we don't really believe God. Until we see, right? We won't believe. We have too many Thomases in the church. Except I see, right? Too many Thomases. Then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be? I'm not married. I'm not in relationships. How is this going to be? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy, anybody here got the Holy Ghost? That's your qualifying agent. If you got the Holy Ghost, that's your qualifying agent. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you got an impossible situation, you need to get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the. Now this is no charge, right? The Bible, you know, they said baptize in the name of the Father, right? Baptize in the name of the Son. Baptize in the name of the, right? You ever talk to me on this? Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? So Jesus, if you're doing it according to that formula, right? Then the Father and the Son are separate, correct? But the scripture just said, who's the Father? Right? Hello?
The Word of God.
Wait a minute. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So it's two fathers?
No.
The Holy Ghost is the Father, and the Father is the Father.
One.
So that's why Jesus, the Son, and the Father are all the same. Right, that's not hard to figure out because the Father didn't overshadow Mary. The what?
Holy Ghost.
Overshadowed Mary. It ain't two fathers. So the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Son, they all made. You can just put in your little side note for when you didn't want those debates. All right, let's keep going. And behold, my cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called. Long as you used to be called that, don't accept that title. If I accepted all the titles that people put on me for years, probably still putting on me, right? I'd be a messed up person. All right, because when I first came from down south, because I had a lot of hair back then, it was a lot of hair. Today, somebody stole it. I think I went to sleep and I think the lies did something to me. Well, when I first came from down south, I had a lot of hair and I always wore my red hat, red sneakers and stuff, and I had kind of like a lot of sideburns and all that stuff. People thought I was Elmer Fudd, dumb, crazy, right? They thought I was just dumb, right? So when, seriously, even when I was in school, I wrote a paper one time and they asked, who wrote the paper? I said, I wrote it. They said, nah, we want to know who wrote this paper. It was like, wow. So if I accepted the titles that people put on me years ago, I would have never done anything. I wouldn't be anything. So what I'm saying is, don't accept titles. Don't accept anything that somebody puts on you. Believe in yourself with God's help. And that's one thing my mother always told us. She said, no matter how impossible it is, believe in yourself. For with God, with who? Nothing. So, can we change our attitude for our situations and trust God? Amen. Now let's go to Mark chapter 9. I'm just going to go through verse 23, and then we're going to go to John 11. We're going to give you all the impossible situations that God turned around because He's God. All right. So Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou, can you believe tonight, seriously, whatever you're experiencing, can you what? You know, I said, well, you don't know, it's been like this all these years. Things have been so bad. He didn't ask you all that. He didn't ask you all, don't tell God what He already knows and what He knew before the foundation of the world. Don't tell Him what He already knew. He said, if you can what?
Believe.
Whatever your situation is, just believe. If thou can believe, what?
All things are possible unto him that
believeth. Right? You don't have to tell God. He already knows. You know, a lot of times we go to pray and we just we snotting and crying and all this, tell God what He already knows. I said, listen, I don't want you to come to me like that. I want you to come in faith. I want you to come before me believing. All right, have a weak moment, but don't live in weakness. Amen? You got to come before God the right way. You can't approach God, oh God, my situation is so bad, whatever it is, you is a blank. You fill in the blank. You gotta believe God. You have to. Don't believe me. Amen. Don't believe man. Don't believe anything. You gotta believe God. Because God can take the crooked things and make them straight. But not if your heart's not right. Right? The problem he had with Israel, as we read in the Psalm 78, they lie with their mouth and with their tongues. Because their heart was not right. Tonight the challenge is hard. All of us see each other, we all look perfect. Tell yourself you look perfect. I ain't gonna let tell nobody. Tell yourself you look perfect. I know y'all said, everybody said, I don't know what to, but just tell yourself you look perfect. But beyond that outward shell, what's on the inside? What does God see? Amen. Because God is gonna bless you according to your heart. Right? You gotta have faith, but you can't approach God any kind of way. And the question is, how do we walk in our own self-willed, stubborn way and then present ourselves before a holy and a righteous God? That's why Adam and Eve couldn't stay in the garden. Because they were no longer holy. They were no longer righteous. So they could not, their daily communication and fellowship with God, they forfeited because they did what he told them. Amen. Can we just get it right? All right, we'll finish in John chapter 11. I'm on schedule. All right, so y'all can shout. Anybody want to shout? Anybody want to give God the praise? Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Glory. Praise him in advance. Faith is, I don't have to see it, but I know God's going to do it. Faith, amen. Now we all know this story, but we're going to go through it slowly. I'm going to show you. God had to perform a miracle to perform a miracle. Anybody got some of those situations where God needs to perform the miracle to perform the miracle? Yes. Honestly, God had to perform a miracle to perform a miracle. Now there, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not. And you know what? People look at stuff and say it one way, what does God say in your situation? You know, the doctor, the lawyer, this, that, the other, everybody else, what does God say? Amen? What does God say? Whatever your experience, what does God say? Because when we look at it through eyes, it looks one way. That's why the just must walk and the just must live. You can't walk by sight. You gotta walk by faith. Because in this situation, it looked one way. Jesus said, even though he's sick and he's going to die, he says, it's not unto death. Right? He's going to die, but it's not unto death. Whatever the situation is, say it ain't unto death. When you say it ain't unto death, that means you get down real good with it. You know, because probably, well, it's not unto death. It ain't unto death. You know, whatever it is, it ain't unto death. God knows what he's going to do. For the glory of God, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God, whatever you're going through is not what it looks like. God is trying to get glory out of your situation. Amen? Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and so what is forbidden to happen? Whatever you're going through is not because he doesn't love you. He's just trying to get glory out of your situation. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said unto his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, did you Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest out thither again. Jesus, this is Jesus, right? That's why you can't always listen to your companions. Because God has something for you to do. But the natural eye said, well, what about what they were going to do? If God before you once again, right? If God before you. You know, a lot of times say, I'll go if you go with me. Lord, I'll go if you go with me. I don't need nobody but him. Amen? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, my friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciple, Lord, if he sleep, it's all right if he gets a rest, right? But they didn't understand. A lot of our situation we go through, we look at it one way because we don't know the mind of God. We don't know the mind of God. The Bible says, for who had known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? Because we don't understand the mind of God, a lot of times we try to tell God how to do it. God said, I don't need that. I already got this worked out better than you think. Just let me do it. Amen? Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And this is one of those impossible situations. Because Lazarus is what? Dead. And I am glad. You know what God said? What have you going through? I'm so glad for your sake that you're going through it. You don't understand how I'm going to fix it, but I can assure you I'm going to fix it. I'm glad for your sake that I was not there to the intent ye made. Ultimately, that's why God permits every challenge and test in our life so that we will do what? Believe. Now tonight, are you believing? Jesus. Are you doubting? Right? Are you downtrodden? Are you downcast? Are you quitting? Are you imagining the worst? Or are you believing? Right? With men, these things are impossible, but with God. Right? Jesus told the man with the demonic son, he said, if thou can just believe, all things are possible. Amen? Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples. Why do you call Thomas Didymus? Didymus means what? Twin, right? Right? Because they said that Thomas looked like Jesus. Right? Y'all can study it. You know when they get those words, you don't know what they mean, look it up. But he used to call his twin. All right? You ever heard that before? Didymus is called twin. Well, that's what twin means. What twin would he have? Okay. Yeah, teacher, keep moving, right? Keep poking, cooking, and booking the book. I tell his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him, okay? Then when Jesus came, he found that he had been in the grave. Now, it's important when you're reading scripture, all right? Everything in scripture has a definite purpose and meaning. All right? How can you have been in the grave for 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days? Right? Why would you be in the... I know, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to help you a lot. I'm going to tell you why. Why did he have to be in the dead grave for 4 days? Right? Because according to the Jewish superstition, when a person died, they believe that spirit hovered around for 3 days. So if Jesus, per se, had raised him on the third day, it would not, to them, have not been a miracle. Because they believe the spirit hung around the grave for 3 days. So Jesus said, now, we got past your superstition. I'm going to go to the what day? Because according to your superstition, the fourth day, the spirit is gone. So I'm not going to do it according to what you think or what you're expecting, but I'm going to do it the fourth day. Because according to your superstition and what you think, the fourth day the spirit can't be revived. Amen. So that's why God has the number. No charge. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off. I heard that. And many other Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. People can act up with fun. They gotta put some space over here. Alright, but let's get down to verse 32. Now, we already know that first Martha goes to Jesus and said, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus goes through the whole thing. He said, I am the resurrection, and I am. He that believeth in me shall never die. Right? But then she said, yeah, Lord, I know you're going to raise him up at the last day. But he said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Then she goes and Mary comes, but Mary has a different attitude in dealing with Jesus. She falls down before his feet in worship. Right? So her, Martha and Jesus has one kind of conversation because she comes upright in her uprightness. But then Mary and Jesus has a whole different conversation because she comes in the spirit of worship. Amen. And in the spirit of worship, Jesus has a different discourse with her. It matters how you present yourselves before God. You can come all proud and upright like the Pharisees and beat yourself up on your chest and say, I fast 3 times a day. I can say all this. But the poor publican wouldn't even lift up his head. He said, Lord, I'm unworthy. And the Bible said he was more righteous because of how he approached Jesus. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she what? Every time you find Mary, where is she at? At his feet, right? And when he was in Simon's house, she comes with the alabaster box. Then when he was at their house for food, she was at his feet. You know what? Because she's always prostrate, humble. If you approach God the right way, you get the right response. Amen? You can't go to God all proud. What you've done, what you used to do, just go humbly. Saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now, he's having the same conversation with Mary, but it will be different. Amen? When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit. Wait a minute, I already told y'all this situation and what it looked like. What is all this to do about the church always crying? Always moaning, always groaning. Jesus is looking at your situation saying, I'm troubled. I already said what I'm going to do. What are you acting like? What are you acting like that for when you already know what I'm going to do? Amen? And said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now a lot of them say, wow, how much he loved them. He didn't weep because Lazarus was dead, because he said, this sickness is not unto you. So he wasn't weeping because he was weeping because they wouldn't believe. Because of the doubt. You know, say, well, he was crying because Lazarus. No, he already said he's not dead. He's only asleep. The reason he was crying or weeping was because of their unbelief. Amen. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died. Jesus therefore again, now they weren't saying it to Jesus, but he knew what was in their heart, right? So the Lord is trying to perform a miracle, but once again, the trouble is I can't get the heart right. So the Lord is groaning because of the what? The heart. The Lord said, I already said the sickness is not unto death. I already said he's going to rise, he's going to live again. I have the resurrection, I have the life. And nobody is hearing anything I'm saying. Does that sound like the church? All that God says he's going to do, but we can't get it because of the... You ain't going to talk to me? Amen. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, right? What could have been Mary? It had to be By this time, he's thinking. For he has been dead. He has been dead. Right? 4 days, because 3 days they expected a miracle. Jesus said unto her, "Sin I not?" It's God to speak to us in our situation. Right? But we won't get it. We won't believe God. Said unto thee, if thou wouldest just believe, whatever your situation is, he said, if you believe, you're going to see. Whatever we're going through tonight, God is doing it to get glory. But in order for us to get the glory, we have to first believe. Amen? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He said, it's no big deal. Because you always. Right? Because the Bible said, ears of the Lord open unto the prayers of the righteous. Well, the reason God won't hear our prayers is because we're not right. A lot of people say, I've been praying and asking God for all this, but what kind of lifestyle have you been living? His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. He said, but because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus. Why was it important for him to say Lazarus? We all know that, because if he would have just said, everything in the grave, right, but it came out, because he was the resurrection, and he was the life. So if he did not call him by name, amen, Lazarus come forth, and he that was dead came forth. Now, this is the miracle of the miracle. All y'all, it's a lot of y'all are nurses and aspiring doctors, one of these. Right? We all know that when a person dies, within minutes of them dying, the brain gets no more oxygen, and what? Dies. Right? So the brain dies. Then after the brain dies, because the brain stems are no longer sending impulses to the heart, to the rest of the body does what? Die. Then after the body dies, all of that acid is in our system begin to eat away the inside. So this is after how many days?
4 days.
So after 4 days, he should have been brain dead. His insides should have began to rot. Right? Everything that should have existed or would have existed should now be dead, deteriorated, and falling apart. This is the miracle of the miracle. Because medically speaking, Ruby knows this, right? You aren't you in medical stuff right now, right? After a few minutes, you're dead. You know, like they say, if a person drowns, they don't do something, and so when they brain dead, they never. Once your brain dead, your brain is what feeds the rest of the body. Your brain is what tells the heart to work. Everything dies. So once that dies, the skin cells. How many know our whole body is made of cells? That's why the older you get, the more those cells die out. Wrinkles and all that other stuff come because the cells die. Well, he was in the grave for 4 days, right? All you nurses, y'all know he should have been brain dead, right? Jesus didn't speak to his internal organs. He only spoke to him. Yet, the creation of the whole thing was he made him over through the miracle, right? So he tells him, he said, and he came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound and bound with a napkin. Now, Jesus did all that, but then it required them to do something also, because faith without is dead, right? So the Lord could have said, hey, Lazarus come forth, grave clothes fall off, napkin fall off. He said, now you go and what? Lucifer, because his complete deliverance came through the church or the body releasing him. How many people are bound today? Because we want Lucifer, right? We bring up everything that was negative in the past and this and that. He said, just loose him and let him. But the miracle of the whole situation was all of his internal organs had to be revived and made anew. Because they were in the grave for 4 days, dead, as we all stand. No matter how bleak, no matter how bad our situations are, as the elders and the ministers come forward, no matter how bad they are, we have to still, but God only tells us to do one thing, just what? Believe. Don't figure it out. Stop going through all whatever you're going through, books and magazines, trying to figure out. All you have to do is read your Bible and trust God. And then God will do the rest. It's time for us as a church to rise above our circumstances. It's time to rise above all the impossibilities. With men, these things are impossible. But how about let's get an impossible God involved with our situation? But with God, all things are possible. And if ever there was a time the devil is wearing the saints of God out, it's today. Because we won't believe God. We say we believe, but our lifestyle to die. Can we step up to the plate and say, for God I live, for God I die? Lord, if I don't understand, how are you going to do it? I still believe. Lord, for everything is against me, if God be for me. Anybody know that if God be for you, let them do whatever they want, let them do whatever they will. And God's on time here to turn around, but you have to be faithful until the end, amen.